you can make a really concentrated, nice ginger infusion by just taking like a chunk of fresh ginger. You don't have to peel it or anything. And you just throw it in the blender with a couple cups of water and then put it through like a fine mesh strainer. And then you've got like a, concentrated ginger juice.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kuhn. Welcome to the Juno Women Podcast, where I sit down for candid conversations with women who are experts in their field and share their specific knowledge so that we can become better equipped to handle all things motherhood. Juno Women is an extension of Juna, a fitness and nutrition app created to help guide you through your trying to conceive, pregnancy, and motherhood journey. Everything we do at Juna is designed to empower and support you through one of the most incredible and challenging times of your life. On today's episode, I'm talking with Isla Barmer about digestive health during the trying to conceive, pregnancy, and postpartum period. We talk about things like constipation, probiotics, prenatal vitamins, the magic of ginger, and nutrition for gut health, and a few things you want to avoid. I hope you enjoy. Isla, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So today we are going to explore gut health and all the different kinds of digestive issues that end up arising during pregnancy, postpartum, when you're trying to conceive. So I'm excited to have you, but why don't you start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about you and your background?
Sure, thanks. So I'm Isla Barmer. I am a, by conventional training, a registered dietitian, licensed dietitian nutritionist. I have a master's degree from Boston University and a private practice located just north of Boston. I also call Boston Functional Nutrition. I also am trained in women's health, herbalism, functional medicine. So I've done a lot of additional training over the years and layered that into my practice. And I'm also the founder of Full Circle Prenatal, which is a fertility wellness and education brand. And our kind of flagship product is Full Circle Prenatal, a prenatal multivitamin.
Well, while we're on that, why don't you just talk a little bit about that prenatal and why it is one of the better ones on the market?
Yes. So I formulated Full Circle Prenatal originally because I was in private practice seeing clients and really didn't find the formula that I wanted to use. It wasn't just right. And I tend to have a perfectionist quality to my work. And I thought, and luckily it was relatively naive about how difficult the industry actually is, but I thought I'm going to just produce my own and get it exactly how I want. Also, a little bit of the driver there was to pull back the curtains a bit on the supplement industry. I'd been in practice for a while using supplements in practice, though I do describe myself as a real food dietitian where I am a big proponent of food first. But supplements can be really useful at certain life stages, pregnancy being one of them. And I formulated this multivitamin and produced it the first few hundred bottles thinking I was going to use that with my clients in practice. I'd have some colleagues that were also really interested in this formula. And then it just has really organically grown from here, just the appreciation for the formula itself, how well people really tolerate it. And that's huge, as I think, and I know as a mother of two as well, going through pregnancies, tolerance is huge when it comes to your prenatal multivitamin. And from the things that make it really different are, I come at it from a health practitioner clinician background. So I'm looking at the forms of the nutrients being the most bioavailable, the doses being evidence-based. So not just on a label to check a box, but actually there to do something and match the research, what we know is actually needed. And it really, the pillar of the company is focused on quality and making sure that no matter what, we are always staying true to that. And right now we're in a short out of stock period. Hopefully by the time that there's, that will be, have been lifted. There's pressures from all over to really produce more and more and fast, but really I take quality very seriously and making sure that each product produced is really meeting those standards in this state. You know, there's a big issue in the prenatal multivitamin industry, in particular with heavy metal contamination mm-hmm. and other types of issues, adulteration with them. And this is not obviously a time period where you want to mess around. So that those are some of the drivers behind it and a few of the reasons why it's different.
Got it. Yeah, I think when we had talked with the heavy metal stuff is just scary, and how many prenatals mm-hmm. and people just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we really make our COA, which is the certificate of analysis of the product, which has our independent third-party lab testing done in each batch, available to anyone upon request. And we're working on just getting it up for each batch on our website as well, so that it's just, you have the information. There's no just having to trust our word on it, that you get to see the data yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, let's do our hard segue here and let's talk about gut health. And I guess let's start in the trying to conceive period. If you want to give us a little bit of background, because I think, you know, like a lot of listeners might be like, microbiome, what? So let's give like a little 101.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your microbiome doesn't actually just live in your gut. That's something that you find throughout your body. And it's really comprised of all of the microorganisms. That includes bacteria and fungal and all different types of microorganisms that live throughout the body. It's actually really interesting. Even your placenta has a microbiome, which we never used to think that was the case. But there's all sorts of, really throughout all tissue and fluids and everywhere throughout your body, your microbiome exists. And it influences our health in a lot of ways. And many millions, billions of types of bacteria and amounts that comprise this microbiome. And keeping it healthy is really in line or equivalent to keeping your overall body healthy. So it could be a little overwhelming when we think about it as a whole, but one place that your microbiome really, you can really feel the impact and where it is most concentrated, so is in your digestive, your gut health, your gut itself. And so some of the signs that your microbiome may be out of whack, out of balance, and needing some support will show up as your body throwing some red flags up as digestive health symptoms. So another important area to focus in on is vaginal ecology and health too, when it comes to fertility and pregnancy, because not just within our gut and digestive tract, but also throughout the vaginal tract, the microbiome influences our health. And so if you are prone to yeast infections or have had a history of BV, or just things are out of balance, that also is another red flag from your body that your microbiome is out of balance.
Got it. And so let's take constipation, for an example. Mm-hmm. If that's something like I've constantly struggled with, and I'm in the trying to conceive period, what are some steps I should be taking?
Yeah. So constipation, this is actually something I ask all new clients, prospective clients in the practice, is about their bowel movements. And I think constipation means something different for everybody in some way. You know, I've had clients who have thought that having 1 to 2 bowel movements a week was normal, when in reality, if we want to define what's normal and healthy, really anywhere between 1 and 3 bowel movements a day is what you're aiming for. Now, that gets trickier. That is still true during pregnancy, but we can talk about some of the unique changes that happen during that phase, if you'd like, in a minute. But for preconception, if you're considering pregnancy, you do want to make sure that you are having 1 to 3 bowel movements daily, that they're formed, that you feel like you're fully eliminating, you know, that they aren't dried and hard to pass. So these are all signs that there may be something going on. And so it can have to do with your microbiome, so the balance of the good bacteria with the bad. And that is one thing that we can influence. And it goes beyond just taking a probiotic. So I do want to make that point, and mm-hmm. we can talk about some of the other ways to support it without just running to grab a probiotic, because I think that's the most common thing I think that people do. Well, just to finish that thought, because I think people probably are wondering, well, why wouldn't I just go grab a probiotic? But really, you do want probiotics to match your needs. And there are so many different types of bacteria. There are so many different strains that you'll see in probiotics. There's quality differences. And really, it may not be a bacterial balance issue at all. And so I think the way that I approach things first is to evaluate, you know, your diet, do a checklist there. And if constipation is an issue preconception, before you start trying, then you want to think about things like hydration. You'll go through the basics first, the foundation. So hydration is a big one. We need fluid to help move, you know, stool through our system. That's a big one. And mm-hmm. I would say a good percentage, more people than not, are not drinking enough fluids. So that's one thing to check in on. Fiber intake would be the other. Fiber is where it really what bulks up our stool and helps it, you know, increase transit time. So keep stool moving through our system as well. Fiber would be another place to check. You're definitely getting different types of fiber in a wide variety of produce. So focusing on produce and nuts and seeds, that can be a great way to up your fiber intake. Then there's other things that get a little bit more, can get a little more nuanced, like how well is your body producing what I call digestive juices? So your enzymes and bile and acid, all those things are needed to break down your food properly and keep it moving through your system. You know, one thing that I'm a big proponent of, and I think is really easy to start integrating into your routine preconception, and it will serve you really well, both during pregnancy and postpartum, are things like digestive bitters. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't have to be a supplement, though it can. And you can look to foods that are naturally contain some of these bitter compounds. So like your more bitter green, dandelion greens, arugula, mustard greens, like those are really good choices. Or burdock root, you can sometimes find in the store certain seasons and throw that like in a soup. You know, ginger, that's actually not a digestive bitter, but it does help stimulate some of that digestive juice secretion and work in a sort of a roundabout way to help the brain talk to the gut and keep food moving through your system as well. So I'm a big fan of using ginger. And I have some fun recipes that I talk a lot about on social media and on my blog, including like a ginger infusion, which is super easy to make. And we can chat about that if you want to. But those would be a few things that I would consider preconception. And the reason why you want to focus on that and why it's important, even if it's day-to-day quality of life, obviously being constipated never feels good. But also you think about it in a few different ways. Waste toxins are removed in part through your stool. And so you do want that process to be efficient to help make sure you're not putting extra stress on your body preconception, because that in turn, without getting too into the nitty gritty, can affect, you know, developing follicles and hormone balance and any number of things preconception. So making sure your body is efficiently removing waste regularly is really important. We also remove excess hormones through our stool. So estrogen that we don't need and has been packaged up by our liver, we move out through the stool. So regular bowel movements become super important for everyone, but women in some of these key ways. Yeah, let me stop there and make sure I'm not going too far in any direction and we can take it where you'd like.
No, that's super fascinating. I don't think I realized that about hormones leaving your body in your stools.
Yep. It is one of the ways that what can happen, actually, and this is the tie-in to your microbiome, is basically as the body produces estrogen, and we do that primarily really through the ovaries, there's the ovarian production of estrogen, and then we have what we don't need, what we don't use packaged up neatly in the liver. And that process actually requires a lot of nutrients too. So that's where nutrition comes in. But once it's packaged up, it's brought down to the stool via the bile mostly, and it leaves through the stool. If you're constipated, you're more at risk to get this sort of estrogen dominance that sometimes people coin mm-hmm. that term, to have excess estrogen. That can affect you in a number of ways. Sometimes you see that play out as really heavy, painful periods and other issues. You know, the bacteria in our gut play a role in this too, because if the stool is not moving through and there's a bacterial imbalance, usually it's an overgrowth. Some of that bacteria can actually unpackage up that estrogen and send it back into circulation.
Oh.
It's kind of wild. So it's this like dam, this whole balance that has to happen between systems.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood, with a 12-week trying to conceive plan and workouts, key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum, plus 6 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, infant sleep, sleep from 4 to 12 months, and starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing exercises, pelvic floor prep, daily tips, and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you are experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the App Store or go to juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download Juna today and get started. Now, back to the show.
Okay, that's super fascinating. I love that you mentioned digestive bitters. I started taking them this year after actually working with a functional medicine doctor to help with my own digestive issues, and I love them. And I didn't know that you could take them during pregnancy, so is it something you can do? Okay, wish I had known that for my first three.
Yeah, I think you need to go a little bit more gentle with them. There's certain ones that you wouldn't use, but there's a blend that I like by Urban Moonshine. It's their Calm Tummy Bitters. That's a pretty good option, and it's got some pregnancy-safe herbs in there. A couple of my favorites, digestive bitters that are safe during pregnancy, are some dandelion root, burdock root, chamomile is actually a digestive bitter, and then it doubles as a nervine, so it's a safe, relaxing type of herb as well. And so you can find those as tinctures and take those, and that is one. Really, and it helps with digestive bitters and keeping motility good and making sure you're not constipated will also in turn help with nausea and like aversions and just that piece too.
Ooh, did not know that either. Let's jump to pregnancy because I think you might know the statistic. Is it 70% of people suffer from constipation during pregnancy?
Yeah, I think I would imagine it's probably higher because I think there's there are so many things that happen in pregnancy by design that cause constipation that it's just a really common symptom. And some of the things that happen by design are your body producing more progesterone, and that's needed for your baby's development. Progesterone and relaxin, the other hormone that is produced, really do slow down motility because they literally relax the muscles throughout your digestive tract. And most of your digestive tract is a muscle. You just see some of those contractions. It's called peristalsis that moves food through your digestive tract. It's not quite as strong. And you also see motilin, something called motilin decrease. And so these things are partially by design because they are helping you extract more nutrition from the food that you're eating. So that part of why motility slows down and food moves through your system slower is for that biological mechanism, is to extract more nutrition from your food. But there's other things that happen too. You may be less active, you're getting more rest, just walking and moving your body moves your intestines as well. Mm-hmm. And that helps. You also see as the uterus increases in size, that can actually physically obstruct the intestines. Right. And for those who've been pregnant, it is, you can tell things just shift around, right? And there, and so you get that digestion changes partially because of those physical changes and where baby's sitting. But you also sometimes, especially first trimester, you tend to eat less fiber too, or maybe less produce. That will also affect it. You absorb more sodium and water in the colon, so it results in smaller, harder stools. So all of those things, those are the physiological changes that happen during pregnancy that are partially by design and require more effort really to have regular bowel movements.
So what is that? What can people do with some of that effort that is required?
So I think one, more fluids. I think that's a tough one because I know if you've got to pee all the time when you're pregnant, and especially at certain stages. And so increasing fluids can be that's sometimes met with resistance when I make that recommendation, but that will help a lot because you need you need more fluid just to move the stool through, or else you're going to be getting really hard, dry stools. But you don't want to forget about electrolytes either. Water is a piece of this. During pregnancy, you need more sodium, you need more electrolytes too. So some of your fluid choices you may want to have look like a little more balanced in electrolytes.
What would be a good example of that?
Yeah. So a colleague of mine, Lily Nichols, she wrote a book, Real Food for Pregnancy. She's got a great electrolyte recipe in there. It's essentially coconut water, some lemon, some salt. So you're trying to get a little more salt. Coconut water is higher in potassium. So that's a good choice for that. And some lemon for the vitamin C. So you can make like a really natural option like that. Yeah. A fluid, fiber, walking, and movement. But I'm a big fan of digested bitters, as I've mentioned, because I think that's just going to keep the digestive juices flowing. It helps with that gut brain connection, with the signaling between, it's really the vagus nerve that affects it, works on that signaling for food to move through your system. And ginger. So ginger works in a number of ways. It is pregnancy safe. I love making, and I still do this quite a bit. You can make a really concentrated, nice ginger infusion by just taking like a chunk of fresh ginger. You don't have to peel it or anything. And you just throw it in the blender with a couple cups of water and then put it through like a fine mesh strainer. And then you've got like concentrated ginger juice. And what's nice about that is you can like freeze it on ice cube trays. You can dilute it. You can add a splash of it. So you don't have to have a lot of it when it's in that concentrated form. Just so, you know, an ounce or so is going to have an impact. And that's a great remedy for nausea too.
In that first trimester. So with that infusion, do you like put it in, if it's in, let's say it's an ice cube, do you put it in water or do you just take a shot of it, like an ounce?
You could do either. Yeah, okay. You could do either. I think about an ounce of it is going to have the most therapeutic effect. What's not going to be as helpful, like I was just taking like a store-bought bag of ginger tea and brewing a cup. That's probably not going to do it for you. It just doesn't have enough of the therapeutic kind of compounds in ginger. But yeah, doing this infusion can help a lot. It's actually like nature's ibuprofen. It's so anti-inflammatory too. So I often am recommending it in practice for around right before and around your period. Even if someone is going through fertility treatments, somewhere around transfer to keep things nice and warm and moving. It has so many applications.
I will never forget when I was pregnant with my third baby, we were in Hawaii on like this snorkeling trip and I was 7 weeks pregnant and I had to get hit this wall of nausea. And I'm on this boat trip, which is a nightmare. And I was like, oh, I'm so sick. So my husband like handed me a ginger ale. And I like look at the ingredients and I'm like, there's not even ginger in this ginger ale. So I always caution people to like look at the ingredients when they're consuming ginger, especially when it's touted as ginger ale.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that crazy? There isn't even real ginger in a lot of those sodas. So you need the real deal. And I think it's inexpensive to grab a fresh ginger, and you can freeze fresh ginger too if you're not going to use it all. Easy to work with.
Got it. And then so outside, let's say I'm doing all of that and I still can't go to the bathroom. It's just such a problem. Is there anything like any superfoods that you're like, oh, this usually works, or try this?
Yeah. I think there's a couple. If those things are not working, you get the foundations covered. I think that's when you can start. And I would also incorporate things like, make sure that you've got enough, that there is fruit in the mix, or fruit, pears and plums, and even some dried fruits. If you're not struggling with gestational diabetes and blood sugar issues, I think I'd be cautious of that, the sugar in too much dried fruit. But dried fruit will help. And one of the ways it helps is it acts as an osmotic laxative, though I wouldn't really put it in that category, where it's going to draw in water to the intestines to help pass stool. Along the same lines, things like, I also recommend quite a bit in practice, are using things like ground flaxseed as well. Sometimes we do a like kind of a stewed like prune and ground flaxseed sort of a mixture, or come up with a smoothie that incorporates a couple of dates and ground flax and then plenty of water too. That can also be enough. But if all of those things are not enough. You do want to use caution with laxatives in pregnancy. And I think a lot of people do get that message, but not everybody. The thing to keep in mind is that you want to avoid stimulant laxatives for the most part. Those are things like senna and castor oil and try to think of another good example. Senna is one of the most popular ones, because those can, especially third trimester, but really at any point during pregnancy, it can be too stimulating to the uterus and cause contractions. Mm. But osmotic laxatives, that's another class. Those can potentially be used. And the one that I would really like hone in on as being safe and having like multiple benefits would be magnesium citrate. So we use actually magnesium glycinate in Full Circle prenatal, and there's a pretty good amount of it. There's 300 milligrams, and that doesn't have the osmotic laxative effect, but it does work in a roundabout way to help with the gut-brain connection that I've alluded to, to help keep motility working well. So a lot of people do find that with that, it helps keep them regular too, but some additional magnesium citrate starting in like the 150 milligram zone and done just slowly increasing. You would take that like before bed, check with your health practitioner, of course, but you can start with 150 milligrams at night before bed with some water. And then if that, you know, doesn't work, then magnesium's a little tough to overdo it on. And so I think you can go up too fast, but you add another capsule the next night, somewhere around the 300 milligram zone for magnesium citrate is usually perfect and enough to just help with all these other interventions.
This episode is sponsored by Element. Element is a really tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything that you need and nothing you don't. Guys, electrolytes are so important when you're pregnant, and with everything going on in your body, it's so easy for electrolyte deficiencies to occur. It's perfect for those who are nauseous in the first trimester and for those who are losing lots of sodium through sweating in their third trimester. It's also perfect for the nursing mama who's losing electrolytes through her breast milk. Element contains a science-backed electrolyte ratio, 1,000 milligrams of sodium, 200 milligrams of potassium, and 60 milligrams of magnesium. With none of the junk, no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, no gluten, no fillers, no BS. I'm one of those people who sweats an obscene amount. Element has been getting me through all my postpartum workouts. I absolutely love this stuff and I can't recommend it enough. They have a variety of flavors. Raspberry ice is my favorite, but citrus brings me back to my athletic days of drinking sports drink, except Element has no added junk. I typically make a 32-ounce drink, and then I drink half, and then I fill it up again, and then I do this like 12 more times throughout the day so that I can make that flavor last as long as possible. You can try Element totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend, and they'll give you your money back, no questions asked. As a member of our community, Element has a very special offer for you. You can get an Element sample pack for only covering the cost of shipping. Get yours here. drinklmnt.com/Juna. Once again, that's www.drinklmnt.com/Juna.
Yeah, I was a big magnesium fan throughout all of my pregnancies. With my last one, I like ended up having to just use Colace pretty frequently. Which, like, it's interesting, like, how – and with – for me, each pregnancy, it got worse and worse.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. I think – yeah, and Colace you would put – and it's a stool softener. Definitely one that I think postpartum, I think a lot of – yeah, there's natural options. A lot of women will just call on Colace, something like a stool softener, to help those immediate days. Postpartum, for sure. Yeah, but that being the osmotic laxative category as well, so that can also help. It just works by drawing in more water to help soften the stool.
What's your take on like Miralax and Benefit and all that stuff?
Yeah, so Miralax is another one in the osmotic laxative category, but unlike magnesium citrate, Miralax and some of those others, if you get too reliant upon it and are taking it regularly, it's going to interfere with the absorption of other nutrients, and it can disrupt the microbiome, the digestive, your gut microbiome as well. And so I think if you're absolutely reliant upon it, then we want to question what's missing in the mix and get personalized your plan, because I think it's one of those things like you call in those when you need it during certain periods of time. But if you're needing it every single day and have regular bowel movement, then there might be something else up that you want to dig into further with a practitioner, because my concern is really the risk of interfering with absorption of nutrients from your food and supplements at that point. It points back to why I'm a big proponent of looking at that preconception period, like before you decide to get pregnant, you know, trying to do a little bit of an evaluation about your digestive health and see what needs to be addressed, because it can make your pregnancy a lot more comfortable, not to mention actually help reduce the risk of some pretty serious pregnancy complications that have been tied to the microbiome.
What are some of those pregnancy complications?
Yeah, so some of these might be surprising that there's a link. And when I say a link, there's a connection between the microbiome and these conditions. It's not a direct cause and effect. Any pregnancy complication is usually the result of many different variables, much of which is out of our control. But the things that are in our control and we do know have an impact, that's where I think we could be empowered to make a difference. You know, the microbiome's definitely been linked to preterm birth. Usually it has to do with the vaginal ecology. And if there's yeast infections, UTIs, BV, even if there's stealthy sort of infections, like those can be risky to a pregnancy and can put you at risk for preterm birth. The other thing is gum disease. So like I said, your microbiome is throughout your body, and your dental health, like preconception is the time, and even throughout pregnancy too, to really make sure you're going in for cleanings regularly, like you're getting your checkups, that your dental health is on track, because gum bacteria, it can translocate to different parts of your body. And there's actually a marked increase in your risk for preterm birth, and also preeclampsia, gestational diabetes. So these are all things that have been linked to significant imbalances in your microbiome. Yeah, things that we don't fully understand preeclampsia. There's a lot of factors involved in that, but we do know that there has been a link between high blood pressure and the spilling of the protein in urine, so preeclampsia, and bacterial imbalances in the gum, so gum disease.
Yeah, preeclampsia is like one of those things you're just like, what in the world?
Yeah. Sometimes that can have to do with, you know, there's all sorts of things like around like the placenta's development and where it's developed. Also, yeah, quite a few different factors.
Got it. Talking, let's switch gears and just talk about postpartum, because I think there's a lot that's happening. At least I know for me that as a breastfeeding mom, like I feel like my digestive system like doesn't go back to normal until I'm done breastfeeding. And so I'm curious if that's just me, or is there something going on in my body that would suggest that makes that normal?
Yeah, no, you're not. Yeah, you're definitely not alone. Those hormones, you're still pumping out quite a bit of relaxin, which is going to continue to slow down motility. So that's a key piece of it. But I think one of the risks postpartum is that you've got baby, you maybe have other children too. It's just really hard to focus on you and what you need and getting in a good nourishing balance, diet and movement and all the things that help keep our gut in check. So I think that's where, you know, postpartum planning comes in as best as possible, so that you're doing things like we do so much to plan for pregnancy and the birth itself and labor and delivery, but then we forget about this postpartum period and shift all of our focus to baby. And so the more you can, I think, consider how are you going to making yourself like nourishing, like nutrient dense, like muffins or cookies, like things that you can hold in one hand that have got like flaxseed incorporated in them and some fiber. And how can you set up like nursing stations to have like hydration and snacks that are going to be nourishing, and like pre-make some like soups that have got a lot of nutrient density in them. Bone broth based soups can help a lot with maintaining your gut health, because the bone broth is really rich in minerals, but also glycine and glutamine. Those are really protective and coating and healing, you know, to the gut tissue. I think in preparing for postpartum as best you can help too, because that immediate, there's so much stress that happens. Your body undergoes a lot of stress during labor, delivery, and with postpartum recovery. And so nourishment, good nourishment and hydration and rest, so it's going to help protect your gut health during that time.
Got it. Yeah, that's good advice. I feel like the It's people don't realize how hard it is to take care of yourself when you're a new parent.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yep.
I feel like when you're a second time parent, it's a little easier to know what you didn't know. And you're like, oh, I'm going to make all these changes because I didn't do this right the first time. But as a first time parent, you have no idea how hard it is to take care of yourself.
I know. I try to remember back to that because I was doing this work at the time and I know people told me.
Oh, yeah. You can tell people all you want, but like they're just, I was saying this to, we were doing a whole series, like a postpartum series. So in the hope that, because everybody listens to birth stories, right? Like they're, and they're preparing themselves for birth. But if you heard a bunch of postpartum stories about the challenges, and then maybe people would think about preparing for it a little bit more. But like I have found that it's just no matter how much you listen to it, or you just can't understand it until you're in it. And so it's I think it's probably just a rite of passage that every new parent needs to go through.
Yeah. And I think that's like where your village comes in and you just have to call on them and hopefully they know you're a first time mom and you're not listening because that was true for me, even knowing all of this.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right. Then my last question would be, if you were to give someone three tips to have a really healthy gut, what would that be?
Yeah. So for three tips, I would say focus on a variety of produce. And that's going to get you really far between the antioxidants in it that are nourishing to tissue throughout your body, including your gut tissue, but it's also going to give you fiber. So between the nutrients, the antioxidants, the fiber, and a wide variety of produce, we've heard it before, but that's something I would really focus in on. Hydration. I just think the foundations, even though they're not as sexy as some of the other interventions, it's like just easy to let those go. And I think especially in functional medicine, and that's really how I practice, it's really easy to get overcomplicated really fast. And just making sure that you've got the foundations in place is really key. And then I have to recommend bitters because I don't think that they're, I think historically, they were used much more than they are in our modern diets and modern lifestyle throughout cultures, like around the globe in one form or another. And there's bitter receptors actually all throughout our digestive tract. And so it's not even just the act of tasting the bitter. So it doesn't have to be an unpleasant experience, like the Calm Tummy Bitters by Urban Moonshine. Some of these like not overly bitter greens like arugula is just slightly bitter. They don't have to be unpleasant for them to be effective, because as they work their way through your digestive tract, they're stimulating that motility and juice production and all the rest. So I'm a big fan of those, and I think we can use them through all stages of life, including all stages of pregnancy.
Yes. By the way, really quickly, I'm curious because I've heard dandelion greens mentioned before. Do you have a way that you eat them?
Yeah, a little goes a long way with those. And they can be, they do have a little bit of a diuretic effect. And you don't want to overdo it. And when pregnant in particular, because you will lose some fluid from them. But generally speaking, it's going to be hard to anyway. So with dandelion greens, I think just a small amount mixed into a salad that has other greens is good. No need to like have a whole salad of dandelion greens. That would be hard to do. But those have a lot of prebiotic fiber in them as well. I do that, or sometimes you can do a tincture blend of both dandelion leaf and root, and that's a nice bitter that offers a lot of support. I would, wherever you're using greens, a small amount of dandelion green can go a long way.
Okay, good, noted. I'm gonna try and incorporate that into my day-to-day. Awesome. Wow. Ayla, thank you so much for coming on. This has been super informative. I wish I was going to be pregnant again so that I could implement some of these changes and maybe have a different pregnancy, but that is not going to happen.
Yeah, I hear you. I've got my two babies I love and I'm done, but now we're hopefully going to pass on the good word to others. So thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Okay, that's all for today. If you liked today's episode, please share it with a mama friend and leave us a review. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you can download the Juna app completely free for 7 days. The app is available for iOS and Android and is designed to be your guide for all things health and fitness for this very special time of your life. If you have any suggestions for episodes you would like to hear or anyone you think would be a great guest on the show, please email me directly at sarah@juna.co.
Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.